With our children this morning, we remembered the day young David, or Davida, faced into that big bully Goliath and defeated him with an itty-bitty rock. It's a comforting story, especially for people who must stand up to modern-day bullies, be they actual persons or menacing problems or illnesses. It is comforting in that it helps build us up. It fortifies. Old English, come and fort. It comforts us for whatever seemingly overpowering struggle lays ahead. Remember David and Goliath. What do we do, however, when the Goliath we face is not our enemy? Sure, it's helpful to think of grabbing some small, smooth stone, putting it into our figurative sling, and hurling it into the forehead of a problem, thus knocking it down. In a way, isn't that what this week's holiday represents? The founders of our nation penned an itty-bitty document, a Declaration of Independence, and slung it at the mightiest empire of the world at that time. They saw themselves as David and England as Goliath. Such an analogy fit, and the colonial David, while not felling the enemy Goliath, certainly got him off their back. But what do we do when our Goliath is not our enemy? Let's think about David again. There was another Goliath who stood before him, only this Goliath was not a Philistine. In the course of his life, David did not choose a stone and hurl at this Goliath, even though he had opportunity to do so on several occasions. Who was this Goliath? King Saul. According to Scripture, Saul and David first met when Saul was troubled by an evil spirit. David had a reputation for playing soothing music on his guitar. Okay, so it was a lyre. But if the guitar had been invented back then, I'm sure he would have been playing it. A funny thing about this relationship was that the one who brought Saul relief from whatever it was that plagued him became the very one who was, in a way, causing his fits. You see, from the start, God was never too sure about this whole king business, but allowed the children of Israel to move from being led by judges like Samuel to become like other nations and be led by a king. Saul was the first. He wasn't a bad one, as kings go. However, he made his mistakes along the way, and as time went by, power got the better of him, as it often does. He forgot what God wanted. At a certain point, God, who was iffy about such things as kings from the start, said enough is enough and pulled back from Saul. Scripture says, quote, "The spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him." Furthermore, unbeknownst to Saul, his replacement was already anointed by God, and that replacement was David. So you see, as he worried over his future, Saul, anxious over the usurper who might steal his throne, that very person was at his side bringing comfort with music. Life gets strange sometimes, doesn't it? Well, David met his original Goliath and defeated him, but as time went by, Saul became more fearsome a Goliath to David than that Philistine ever did. Saul soon grew suspicious of this young man with a guitar in hand. It got downright nasty at times. On a couple occasions, Saul, during some of his fits, wanted so badly to grab a spear and nail David to the wall that he actually tried. By the grace of God, I guess we should say, David managed to miss getting skewered. He had to run away many times. Of course, there were also days when Saul was apologetic and repented of his evil desire, truly wanting to embrace David in love. This sort of reminds me of some families I know. Only I can say that whatever evil spirit which seems to plague certain abusive persons in those families, that this is from God, as Scripture says it was for Saul. Have a hard enough time dealing with all the violence in the Old Testament. Violence, whether it be physical or verbal or sexual, in the modern day home, is worse, however. Any police officer will tell you that the most unpredictable, hardest to handle calls they get are domestic disputes. So what do you do when Goliath is a spouse or a child, grown or otherwise? Somehow, a smooth stone to the forehead isn't going to do it, even though that may be what you most want to do. Are you understanding my question now? What do you do when Goliath isn't your enemy? More of the Goliaths we face day to day are not our enemies, you know. They may live in our homes. They may work beside us. To deal with them, we need other kinds of stones in our pocket than what David used on that Philistine. In fact, he had to come up with alternatives himself when facing up to Saul. What did he do? Well, let's examine the record. We already mentioned a few stones he used. One was his talent for music, which worked sometimes, though not at others. By the way, persons who live with abusive partners become masters at these alternatives. And while we may sometimes question how these things enable a partner or a parent to continue down a wrong path, we have to marvel at the ingenuity of it all. How might we handle it if we were in those same shoes? Maybe not as well. David soothed with music. When that didn't work, he ran. Running, my friends, is not a bad option. It's certainly better than being nailed to the wall, wouldn't you say? Now, our congregation supports the Family Crisis Center, in part because it provides a safe place for abused persons to run to, even as it works with families trying to find alternatives to violence. Now, another stone in David's pocket for dealing with that Goliath called Saul was his doubt. While he believed that Saul was sincere in all his apologies, David didn't totally trust the king. He didn't fully move back into the castle. Call it healthy skepticism. Now there's one more very significant stone. David had a close relationship with Saul's son, Jonathan. This, by the way, is one of the Bible's greatest examples of friendship. David never had a truer friend. Now, Jonathan would have been next in line for the throne, but he felt no competition with David. Jonathan would gladly have died for his friend David. So great was their love for one another. Friendship is a powerful stone in dealing with the other Goliaths we face in life. Without a friend nearby, we feel lost and alone. A true friend, however, can help us through almost anything. How are you fixed for friends, by the way? It's funny to say, but at a certain point, David even allowed himself to become Saul's enemy. Mind you, at most every step along the way, David assured Saul that he wasn't out to kill him, that he would never lay a hand on him, and that he still looked up to Saul as king, as God's anointed. And David meant what he said, whether Saul really believed him or not. On a couple of occasions, in fact, David was within striking distance. He could have ended it all with a simple jab of the knife, and who would have blamed him? You know, one time, David and his men, perhaps you remember this one, were hiding in a cave, and Saul went in there to go to the bathroom. No lie, folks. Truth is sometimes stranger than fiction. David managed to sneak up, now don't ask me how he did this, managed to sneak up and cut off a piece of Saul's cloak as Saul was going to the bathroom. From a distance afterward, David yelled to Saul, holding up the cloth as a sign that though he could have done harm, he didn't. A similar story is told of a nighttime encounter when David refrained from slitting Saul's throat as he slept. Toward the end, David even allowed himself to become Saul's enemy. He and his men went to live, can you get this, among the Philistines, probably confirming everything ill Saul had thought of him. Every avenue that David could have taken to avoid killing Saul, however, had been cut off by Saul, except for that one. And instead of returning eye for eye against Saul, he chose to be on the other side of his own people. Of course, all too soon, sides would switch again. Now, don't hear me claiming that David was a pacifist. His reputation was anything but. However, in relation to the Goliath named Saul, David chose a different path. And when Saul was finally killed in battle, David deeply and honestly grieved his death. Saul died by his own hand, you know. Now, the scripture I read earlier was the song of lamentation that David wrote for Saul and for Jonathan after their deaths. This song of the bow marked the beginning of a new chapter in David's life and in the life of God's people. Now, as disciples of Jesus, we know that there are many other ways of dealing with the Goliaths of life than a rock between the eyes. It is written that while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. As God's anointed one, Jesus could have come with a sword to take what belongs to God by force. But the stone Jesus chose was the cross. It wasn't forced upon him. He freely chose it. That path is one that we who seek to follow him must take seriously. For didn't he call us to take up our own cross along the way? But remember, it is a conscious choice, not something forced upon us. Taking up the cross involves options, being equipped with the spiritual armor of God, the armor different from what Saul wanted to put on little David or Davida long ago that just weighed him down. The true armor of God is spoken of in several places, including the 6th chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The true spiritual armor of God doesn't weigh much, but is powerful. But know this, that this particular path requires ingenuity. If David could come up with other options, then how much better might we who have this gift called the Holy Spirit? I love what the Apostle Paul wrote about this. See how many creative options you can hear in these words. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I'm not saying that I have all the answers for what to do when Goliath is not our enemy. I don't have all my answers for what is happening to the church in Nigeria that we will be hearing next Sunday, those of you who are here, a little bit of how they are creatively trying to address some of the violence they are facing, the Goliath of religious and other intolerance. I don't say that I have all the answers. After all, that would be claiming that I was wiser than I am. However, I do know this. Many times, we are Goliath to someone else. Did you hear me say that? Many times, we are Goliath. For instance, as wonderful a father as I might try to be to my children, even now, it is ingrained in the process of growing up that at some point, Dad is Goliath, whether I like it or not. Maybe I need to preach a sermon on handling the smooth stones that are aimed at your own forehead. Now, while we're on the topic, since July 4th is just around the corner, we need to remember that when much of the rest of the world looks at our country, truth is they see Goliath, not David. I hope that Goliath, that Saul, with the Lord's help, can learn to creatively walk a different path also. If your enemies are hungry, Jesus said, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.